Sheldon Primus.
Welcome to the Safety Consultant Show with Sheldon Primus, where we blend safety smarts with business brilliance and a pinch of Sheldon's signature wit. Whether you're a safety pro, a fresh-faced consultant, or just safety curious, get ready for a show that'll educate, entertain, and elevate your safety game. Let's dive into the art of consulting with your safety Sherpa himself, Sheldon Primus.
This episode is powered by Safety FM.
Hey, what's up, gang? Thank you for listening to the show, coming back with me. You guys rock. So this is another episode of the Safety Consultant Show with Sheldon Primus. I haven't officially changed the name of the podcast. It still says Safety Consultant with Sheldon Primus. But it just makes more sense to me to actually just do the Safety Consultant Show with Sheldon Primus, you know, and not throw everybody off too bad. I don't know. I'll work on that one. I gotta do that. So everyone, thank you for listening, being on the podcast, being there with me. Gotta make sure I don't sound like John Oliver with my thank you. Get sued. All right, it is now effectively May 7th, 2024, and I am back. I can't say live because you're probably going to be hearing this. Well, not probably, you will be hearing this after I record it on my podcast. So, you know, it's not a rebroadcast, how's that? So back from my trip from Vietnam last week and visiting my daughter and seeing South Asia. It was just awesome. Awesome. I want to do that again. But anyway, before we get too much further, you know the stuff that I like to do. I like to go over where we are in the standings. Some of this is self-serving, obviously, but it's for you guys too. So you know that there's other people in your area listening to this, and hopefully you can connect somehow in business meetings, and chances are it's going to be some sort of safety-related thing. So go ahead and, you know, say, hey, you listen to that guy in America, Sheldon? I'm learning to be a safety consultant through him. I'm learning about safety, health, and all the other stuff. So this is how you know. U.S. is the top of the market, next to Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Canada, U.K., Germany, Spain, Vietnam, Azerbaijan, Jamaica, India, China, Ireland, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Algeria, Australia, Italy, Moldova, Netherlands, Philippines, Turkey. And that's so awesome. And that is my list. I'm only using the Chartable list, Chartable.com list today. I did not pull up the BCAS list, so sorry about that. As of reviews, honestly, I don't have many reviews. And I've been doing this show for 4 years-ish. And out of 4 years, I only have 6 reviews on the show. If you find it in your heart to give a review on the show, that'd be awesome. I'd like to hear feedback from what you think of the show and the content related to it. Hopefully it's helping you out, and that will also make the show a little bit more visible to other people in your area and on the charts. So if you can, that'd be awesome. Share me with some other people, and what that will do is help me with the charts. So you could probably hear in the background my world's largest loudest mouse clicking away. Whenever I do the keyboard, it's truly like the world's loudest keyboard, so I'm sorry about that as well. But I am currently on 2 Apple charts, and it could be my fault for taking a month off, but that's okay. We're going to get you, you guys are going to help me get back on the charts, and I really appreciate your help. But right now I'm in government's my category. So in South Africa, Apple has me as 97. And Apple has me at 99 in Chile. So I am on the 2 charts from Chile and South Africa. That is awesome. Thank you guys for your support. On the Chartable chart in podcasts, in U.S. government reach, I'm actually on that chart. It's not the Apple chart, which is the big boy of the situation, but that's okay. I don't mind being in the US 147 on the Chartable of Podcasts. That is where I am currently. So thank you for listening, sharing the show with your friends, and hopefully you guys will keep it going and get some other people to listen to the show. So I appreciate you for that. I am not in the sound studio, so you probably might hear some background noise. I'm actually drinking some coffee as well, so you're going to hear some gulping. I'll try to, you know, make sure I'm on the mute. Just like that. I unmuted while I was swallowing. Sorry. Didn't want to throw you off too bad. So what's on my mind today? It actually is about doing proposals. I've been seeing a lot in my Facebook group. And if you have not joined the group, you have to go to facebook.com. If you're on Facebook, /groups, groups, /safety consultant. No S in that one. When you get there, you're going to be asked three basic questions. You have to answer all three just to make sure that it's not a whole bunch of bots, which have been crazy, the amount of bots trying to get on the actual Facebook group and start spamming. We monitor that. So I've got a few people that are helping me monitor. One is, of course, the great Jay Allen for the Jay Allen Show. He's part of he is Safety FM. So if you're listening to me on Safety FM, Jay Allen is one of the gang that he's helping me with moderating that group and has been from the very beginning. Alan Wolford, who is Diary of a Bald Man, Alan's there helping me out. Safety Wars himself, Jim Pozel, is on there helping me moderate the group. We've got a lot of people in the group. So currently, the Facebook group, and you're going to hear me with the world's loudest keyboard. So I'm trying to be very quiet as I get closer to you guys. I'm hunting rabbit. You're going to have to really, really be aware of that one if you don't remember that. Ask somebody over 50 and they'll tell you. So let's tell you how many people are in this group too, since I'm already hyping it up for you. So the group again, facebook.com, you're going to go to groups with an S, and then when you get groups with an S, do another /, and then you're going to go to safety consultant. And one of the really good posters in the group is Oregon OSHA. Oregon OSHA is awesome. They're constantly posting stuff for the members, and I put them like right front and center. So right now we have 3,691 people in our group, and you must remember to go ahead and answer the three questions. If you don't, we will deny you in the group. So don't just go ahead and, you know, sign up without doing the answers, or else we're going to deny you. We were trying to keep you honest there, but go ahead and sign up for the group. We've got members like pretty much all over our membership, and the groups of our member, we maybe touch all corners of the globe, honestly. So don't feel like if you're not in US, you can't be part of this group. So go ahead and be part of this group. You guys have been awesome helping me out and each other out, asking questions about safety consulting, about pricing, about all kinds of stuff we talk about in the group, helping each other out. So go ahead and join the group. That was not solicited, or at least not planned, but I felt a need to tell you guys about that. So looking, like, as soon as you guys get this podcast aired, I'm going to be checking my Facebook and saying, all right, how many people listened? That's just my brain. So let's go ahead and get with the getting. Not one of mine, though. You guys know that I usually do my own, but this one's coming from Rode. So, awesome. So today's podcast, we're going to be talking about unlocking the power of proposals. I've spoken about proposals before in the past, just since we've been getting a lot more information, a lot more people asking for information about proposals, I decided it's time to do another podcast on this one. It's been a while. So I'm going to also give you the opportunity to download my proposal, and normally people do this at the end, but I'm going to tell you how to get to it right now so you can actually hit pause on the podcast and look it up, and you can start seeing the proposal itself, and as I go through it, you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about, right? So you want to do the HTTPS with the semicolon, or I guess the two dots, whatever that one is, colon, semicolon, 2.1. Everybody knows how the URL is by now, so you could get this one right. https://swiy.co/proposal. All right, and so you don't have to do that anymore. https://swiy.co/proposal, which is proposal. So I told you all of that, so now you can pause the podcast real quick and go ahead and download that proposal. I'm going to be referencing that proposal, and that's what our conversation is going to be. I'm going to break this up in like four different segments so you can get an idea of how to work the proposal and the idea behind it. So first, I always use a program like Word. And what I'm doing is I'm going to end up making this thing look really good. It's not going to be any of these really simple Excel type of document that just says, you know, one unit of this service for this unit price, and then at the very bottom, give them like a line item. I'm not going to say that I've never done that, okay? But if you rely on that, then it's not going to get you too far as a consultant.
Epic fail.
It's actually going to hurt you, all right? So don't go too crazy with thinking that you want to do volume and this is going to be the easiest thing for you to do, and it looks like some sort of graph. Again, I've done that, but only sparingly, and in certain cases have I done that. But generally speaking, you want a long-form proposal. So let's do that first. So that means long-form proposal, you're going to have table of contents, you're going to have a cover page. And I do page numbers. Sometimes the page number is on the top right, sometimes it's on the bottom right, sometimes it's dead center in the middle. Just that part depends on what I'm feeling. But honestly, it's not as important. So first, before we even get into, you know, what the proposal will be, first is the client. It's all about them. It's not a proposal just to say we know how to write a proposal, right? So the client's going to reach out to you. You have many different ways of the clients reaching out to you. This is not that episode. I've got plenty of episodes about that part. But when the client does reach out to you, you gotta go ahead and you're listening to what they need, right? So you're gonna be sitting across the table with the potential client, you're eager to win their business, and you wanna seal that deal, right? So the proposal will do that. It's gonna also be a way for you to showcase your expertise in a value proposition proposal, and that's really what we're gonna be doing. But you also want to be able to understand that this proposal is your gateway into doing more business with this individual. It's almost like their first peek into what your business is going to look like and how it relates to them. All right, so consider this like segment one or the first step. First step is understanding the proposal itself and what it really, really means to your business. All right. And so you got to make sure that you are taking this seriously and that you're going to really understand that this thing is the foot in the door. It's the first impression. So that foot in the door, that first impression is going to really be something you want to, I don't know. You want some fanfare behind it. I couldn't resist. Okay, that's my fanfare. So you got to have some sort of fanfare behind it. So they know that, all right, this is going to be awesome. You got to while their socks off. All right, so that's your first thought. That's segment one, is understanding the importance of this proposal. So now take a deep breath. Let it out. That's the first thing. Understand the importance. Now don't let it ruin the rest of this and get you stressed. That's why we did that breath. So step number two after this is actively listening to your client. So if they're telling you that they need a mock compliance audit, why do they need the mock compliance audit? Has there been hazards that have, you know, either latent hazards that made themselves real by exposure, or was there some sort of regulatory shift or something similar? So now you got to understand, why do they need this proposal in the first place? And most of the time when you're in this meeting or phone call or even emails back and forth with the client, they may not know exactly what they want. They may just know what they think they want. So you got to hear me with that. I know it's kind of like backwards talk, but some people may know that they need some training for OSHA. And this is me getting my U.S. hat on, right? So they need some regulatory training for OSHA, but they call you to do a 10-hour or a 30-hour OSHA class. And you, in the back of your mind, you know that that's not possible, because literally OSHA says in that 10 and 30-hour program that it is not compliance training. That is in the actual wording in OSHA. It's like the first or a page or two when you're going to be an authorized instructor. So if this client is asking for compliance training through the 10 to 30 hour, you can't, like, you know, you laugh at them in any way. That's not going to be like, that's not going to help you any. That's going to make things worse. So, yeah, I guess you can laugh if they're going to say, we need a 30 hour class and we got to have it in 2 days. Okay, now go ahead, check it out. However, you actually need to hear what they're saying, which is, I want some training for compliance. They're just asking for the wrong service. So you're going to have to redirect them to the right service, so that at that point, you'll be able to truly start making the bones, whatever that phrase that I'm looking for is, structure your proposal a little bit better. And honestly, it's going to make it a lot easier, especially when you can go back and forth and say, well, it doesn't really work like that. OSHA's training doesn't allow for compliance for the 10 and 30. I understand that's important, and that's for your general workers. So what I could do is, here's the compliance training that you're going to need for OSHA. However, I know that you're interested in the 10 and 30. So at that point, I could add a little portion in the proposal that says, if you want to add on to 10 and 30 outside of the compliance training, this is the cost and this is how we would do it. So it doesn't mean you don't take that 10 and 30 hour training in this example. It just means that you're going to end up having to structure your proposal to show them this is the compliance part, and then this is plan B or stage B, stage two, where we could get the 10 and 30 after the compliance part. All right, so with the active listening, I don't want you to disregard what the client's saying, because it's still them and they're still important in everything. But what you're going to do is you're going to help them understand exactly what they need, even though they're telling you with their mouth that they need something. Chances are they know only a portion, and that's why they're hiring you, because you're the consultant. You're going to know a little bit more, and you could direct them as to what is the thing that will serve their purpose better. All right, so that is step two. Step one, we're going to learn pretty much the importance of why the proposal is, you know, why we got to get this and nail this thing. And then secondly, you got to really actively listen to the client before you even start structuring the proposal, right? All right, so hopefully by now you've downloaded the proposal that I told you guys to. You got it already. When we come back, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the breakdown of the structure. Ooh, I said that one right. Yes, nailed it. And then we'll talk about, you know, presenting this proposal to and following up as well. So give you that URL one more time. So while we're in this quick break, if you want to download that, it's going to be https://swiy.co/proposal. So that's my short link. If I didn't have that short link, it'll be really long for you guys to get that that proposal. But go ahead and do that. And when we come back, I'm going to show you how to structure it and then how to present it and follow up, okay? So we'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be back with more of Sheldon Primus and the Safety Consultant Show in just a moment. Are you ready to make a difference? Introducing the Safety Consultant Blueprint Course. Unlock your potential as a safety consultant. Learn the skills, strategies, and ethics to create safer workplaces for your very own client. From risk assessment to client acquisition, we've got you covered. Become a safety consultant and open doors to being your own boss. Join us and be the hero of workplace safety. Enroll today. Safety starts with you. Take the first step now. Visit our website and enroll in the Safety Consultant Blueprint Course. Empower businesses. Protect lives. SafetyConsultantBlueprint.com.
Are you ready to turn your passion for safety into a profitable business venture? Look no further. Sheldon Primus, host of the acclaimed podcast Safety Consultant with Sheldon Primus, invites you to an exclusive online workshop designed to kickstart your journey as a safety consultant. Learn the ins and outs of starting and growing your safety consulting business in our comprehensive 4-hour workshop. This isn't your typical webinar where you passively listen to a presentation. In the first 30 minutes, you'll dive straight into action, working on your business and laying the groundwork for your future success. Learn how to gain clients, promote your business, and partner with others serving your ideal client. Don't miss this opportunity to build a solid foundation for your safety consulting business. This workshop is 100% online and will be held July 13, 2024. Spaces are limited, so reserve your spot now to ensure you don't miss out on this transformative workshop. Register at primus.training. Again, primus.training.
We now return to the Safety Consultant Show. Once again, here's Sheldon Primus.
All right, gang. So let's go ahead and pull up the form that you guys just downloaded. You're able to get that proposal. It's actually the one that I use. I do a variation of proposals depending on what the project is. But first, again, you're going to want to do your cover page, and you're going to want to do a table of contents. I used a Word format. And I can't teach you guys in this way to do the headings and all that. But honestly, if you could take a class to learn how to use Word professionally, then that would help you out. I think I literally have a version of this in safetyconsultant.tv, and you can watch how I do it. But okay. Title, obviously, is going to be on top. Don't forget you got page numbers. Section one is going to give you the background of your company, but first do the background of your client. And how I get this information is on their about page online. So literally you're going to copy the about page, paste it in here, do the source company's about page. And now the next thing in the background information is going to be your company overview. So give a little bit about yourself. Don't do your bio yet, but just a nice little paragraph about what your company does. So that should be about two paragraphs in the background situation. You are going to label that section as background. I do Roman numerals. So that'll be Roman numeral 1, background. Roman numeral 2 is going to be the scope of work. So then you're going to really write in detail what you understand and you agree to with your client, whatever that is. I'm going to do an OSHA 10 for non-compliance training for your line workers. And we're going to do this hazard communication course. We're going to do this control of hazardous energy course. And we're going to do this fall protection course as compliance training. So at that point, now you're going to give them the scope of work. And within the scope of work, I want them to really see what they're going to get. So I want them to know that they're going to get handouts. They're going to have X amount of hours for training. That's going to be our scope. So put that in there, make it detailed. And then the next stage, and this is Roman numeral 3. So in Roman numeral 3, we're going to go ahead and say, what is the client providing? Are they going to provide a training room? Are they going to provide your audio, video, audio, visual, that one? What are they going to provide? So you're going to be upfront and say you want to provide that. And in some cases, like if I'm doing a mock OSHA audit or mock compliance audit, I actually say that the client is going to provide someone that's in the management level that is going to walk me through the facility that understands what's happening. Because I may not understand the activities of the workplace. I'm looking for hazards and exposure. I need someone to walk with me and tell me a little bit about the process. Because if I now give them a report at the end of this project that is going to go against the actual process and things that don't make sense for them, my job with them is probably down to this one job and that's it. So in those situations, I just say in the number 3, Roman numeral 3, these are specifically what I'm expecting you to do. Number 4 is my services that I'm going to provide. And this is when I really get detailed. So the scope of work, you're going to do a nice overview as to this is the things that we're going to get accomplished. And then section 4, services provided. Now you can really get in detail. I'm going to go ahead and sometimes I'll put in, if it's a written policy and procedures that I'm doing, I'll tell them you're getting this policy, this policy, this policy. If I am doing a multi-stage thing, I'll tell them step 1 is going to be this, or phase 1 usually is what the terminology I'll use. Phase 1 is this, phase 2 is this, phase 3 is this, and then follow up is this. Be as detailed as you can, because again, you want the client to see exactly what you're going to be doing during your part of this contract. And I'm saying contract because my proposals, I usually have a line on the bottom for their signature and my signature, and we make it like a contract. So next is going to be deliverables. So even if you're going to say you're getting the policies, I'm going to give you 3 hard copies of a policy and 1 electronic version of it, then go ahead and tell them what the deliverables are. And you're also going to, let them know if they're going to get some sort of follow-up service in here. Put that in there. So deliverables, what are you getting specifically, details from the from you as the consultant when you actually leave? Next thing that we're going to be working on is going to be I have it as Roman numeral 6, and that's the period of service. So I let them know this project's going to last between this time and this time so that they'll have a good understanding of when I'm actually begin. And usually I begin that signature of proposal or they agree to the proposal and there's payment. And then from that point, and I say that in the period of service, from that point, that's when this is considered beginning, and it's only complete when you tell me that you're good with the product. And that is going to be a period of service when I deliver the final report. I don't put in when they accept the final report, because some people might just kind of lollygag a little and they don't get that into you. So when I complete the final report and I submit it to you guys, the client, that's when I call, when I invoice for the next payment. And if they need to work anything out after that, then that's fine. I'm still, working with them. And in my mind, I want to do more business with them in the future. So I'm going to honor whatever changes or anything they make. But I don't want to be penalized in any way by them having a production schedule issue when they're not going to pay me until later. So within period of service, I tell them all that part. Then you break down the cost for them in section 7. Tell them how much this cost will be. You could also do it in project cost, saying if we got two separate projects, one is training for 10 to 30, the other one is compliance, then I'll give you the cost for both. You could do unit cost here. You could be flexible with this. If you wanted to say, cost per project, do that. Don't do hourly cost unless it's an add-on. So here's the project price. However, if you need me to do some consulting services outside of the project price, then here's my hourly rate. And at that point, you separate project price to hourly rate for extra and put that in the cost. My next section is payment. I want to be able to know that we're getting our payment done in a certain period of time. So sometimes I do 50% most of the time. This is my structure: 50% when we initiate the contract, 25% when I do my first part of the project, and then at the final draft, then at that point when I submit that one or say my final copy, then that is going to be the final payment. So I split it up in those ways, and I do afford my clients, if they prefer to pay in full, I'll give them a discount. The discount's up to you. I tend to do anywhere between 5 and 10%. Depends on the project price. But that really incentivizes people to go ahead and pay in full right up front. So I'll put that right in there. And then at the very end, I'll go ahead and give them my bio. So you'll see a whole page with the consultant bio. I have a picture of myself, and I'll do my most recent bio there so they can look it over and they could see exactly how my expertise is and what I've done in the past. And then at the very end of that, I do a couple of client reviews I put in there. So what other people said about my training or services, I put that right in there. So I include the bio and the and it's basically what you're doing is you're proving social proof is the terminology you hear, but it's social proof that you are truly a professional. So I put that in there at the very end. I got the social proof at the very end. So that's the structure of my contracts and proposal. Again, at the very end of, I'm scrolling up, you can hear that. When it does payment, I actually do put a line item for them to sign and me to sign as an agreement. So that's just before the bio section. I forgot to mention that, but just before the bio section is really where I put my signature lines. And if you're going to send this, send electronic with asking for an actual signature at the end. And they'll send you their copy signed, and then you sign your copy, and then you've got something binding there as well. And I do have a full proposal that have legalese on it, and that one I have to reserve for myself, but because it was a contract that I did with someone, not to disclose that. So that one I do have in the back burner. So if I do need a very detailed legalese thing, then I have a version of that. But honestly, you could use a lot of services or even AI to help you with that legalese part if you do need to get a specific type of wording for your jurisdiction to make this contract more binding than just a proposal with a signature line. That's okay. You can just be flexible with that. So then when you're done, make sure you get your proposal done in a certain amount of time. Give yourself plenty of time. Don't say you'll have it by the end of the day. Not enough time for a proposal like this. You're going to need about a week. Don't feel bad about saying you're going to need a week to do the proposal, because you're going to have to really dig in to figure out the price structure and your profit margin. Because whatever your price structure is, you want to put in a profit margin in there so you could still do your, the business of being a solopreneur or a consultant. So that's going to take some while. Don't rush this. it's really important that you nail this one. So you want to give yourself a plenty opportunity to do this proposal right. So then, here's the part of the follow-up. So you send them the proposal. Give them a good 3 days to read over the initial proposal. Then I usually follow up with an email that says, ask them, hey, have you had a chance to read the proposal? Is there anything that you would like me to change or adjust? And that's the first scream across the bow. Hey, I need some attention. Honestly, getting them top of mind. Just wanted to see, give them a few days to go over it and then see, hey, how's it look? If you need me to adjust something, please let me know. And then they'll probably tell you, I need to follow up with this one or this one, and I'll get back to you by the week's end or next week. Someone's on vacation or whatever. That's fine. Listen to what they're saying there. And then when that time period comes, and if they call you back, then be ready to follow up with it then. But if not, at the time period they said that they were going to call you back to follow up, if they don't, then give them another couple of days past that. And then you call and follow up or send an email and say, usually the emails are, hey, are you still interested in this project? And at that point, that's a very precise email. And at that point, they're going to respond to you yes or no. So be ready for no, but hope for yes. And that's going to be the idea. I'm not going to tell you guys about pricing, though, because that's a different conversation altogether. We've had that conversation before. Chances are I'm going to do another podcast on pricing again specifically, but you really want to nail the pricing down. And honestly, most of the time consultants will underbid themselves because they're thinking either of their previous hourly salary, and they'll go ahead and break things down by the hours and then put a project price. I always tell people that double what your idea of pricing would be. Sit with it for a little and then see if it makes sense to you to go ahead and put it out as double the price that you would have initially brought it out. And sometimes you would even go a little bit more. I'm not telling you to gouge somebody. I'm just saying, what is the value worth to this client? So you're looking at how is this client going to gain from your services? That's what they're looking at. They're looking at the value of, I spent X amount of this money and I'm going to get this kind of reward. A way for you to help show them that, and I do put this in almost like a signature block of my proposals, is according to OSHA, on the OSHA website, they'll say there's an OSHA white paper that says for every dollar spent in safety, you get $4 to $6 in return. So I quote that, put that right in there. And then literally I would say the price of this project is projected to this amount. You will get a minimum of this dollar figure back. And I'll give them that ROI calculation right there. So that is the way that I do this, and that's the follow-up and everything else. So I really want you guys to think about this. You could do it. Honestly, if you got so far that you got somebody that is ready to do business with you, that's more than half the battle right there. You're just trying to close the deal with the right proposal. You just want to close this deal to make sure that they could visualize what working with you is going to look like. So if your proposal looks like crap, excuse the French, then chances are they're going to be like, this guy maybe not that good. This lady's going to, not work with us. So we want her to might give her a chance. We don't know. So you really want this to nail it. And that's the proposal part, all right? So there you go. So that's the proposal. I'm calling this one Unlocking the Power of Proposals. And I want you guys to go ahead and unlock the power of the proposal for yourself, so that when you have to submit one of these and you follow up and you get it, man, I could do this. and you get your next one and your next one, and pretty soon you get a whole portfolio of these proposals, and you can start exchanging one name for the next, and you don't have as much work to do. So it will get like that more and more in the future, right? So, got a lot going on there. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I gave you a bunch, but I believe that this is something that you could do. So, go get him.
Sheldon Primer.
Welcome.
That's a wrap for today's safety show. Remember, safety isn't just about hard hats and caution signs. It's about business smarts, too. Thanks for joining us on the Safety Consultant Show with Sheldon Primus. Until next time, stay safe, stay savvy, and keep consulting like a boss. Go get 'em. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast or broadcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within the past hour, only examples. It should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the positions of the company. No part of this podcast or broadcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast or broadcast, Sheldon Primus.
This episode has been powered by Safety FM.
Have you heard of Safety Consultant TV? Well, I'm going to tell you about it. The Safety Consultant TV is a subscription-based video on demand service that will help you learn the business of being a safety consultant at the convenience of your own home, where you have video lessons and you will also be able to download material that is going to help you with your safety consulting business today. You could sign up for it at safetyconsultant.tv. Go right now to safetyconsultant.tv and sign up today.